All right, we have a little more information here on the new junior college transfer that's committed to K-State, Ish Wainwright's brother, Ahmad Wainwright. This lists him at 6'4", according to Kellis' story. Kellis Robinette, K-State beat writer, who you've heard on the show quite a bit. He has a story up already with some quotes from his Trinity Valley Community College coach. Here's a quote. He fills up the stat sheet. There were nights he led us in scoring, nights he led us in assists, nights he led us in rebounds. Had he been selfish, he could have easily averaged in the 20s, and he would have done so at most junior college programs, but he is a team player. So he's the number 26 JUCO prospect, according to JUCORecruiting.com. Be honest with you, man, I've never heard that. I don't know if that falls in line with the Hoop Scoop website that gave K-State the number one recruiting class in the country once upon a time under Jim Woldridge. But, hey, look, I'll stop poking some fun. Let's see. Wainwright had a season-high 45 points in a game that lasted five overtimes in November. Top 20 points in three other games. Fur described Wainwright as dependable and the most mature player on the team.
And as far as his previous recruitment, he did sign with North Texas last fall, but then got a release when the school changed coaches. He reopened his recruitment, and his coach says that he's gained interest from several power conference schools since then.
But none actually listed?
None named.
Is that quote not in the story, or
It is. Well, no, it's not a quote. It's part of...
gained interest from several power conference schools. This is great radio, folks. It's called When I Try and Read an Article for the First Time on the Air Live. So, apologies for that. We're going to do our spring game fantasy draft at 5:10. You can check out the rules to that at the game, KMAN or JL Kurtz on Twitter. For right now, man, we have not talked a whole lot about the Royals. Last night was, to be honest with you, the most I've watched of a Royals game so far this year. Just because K-State baseball, everything that's been going on, I just haven't had time to sit down and watch a whole lot of a game. Finally got a free night last night, so I committed to watching that, which I was very glad that it happened to coincide with the Royals going up against Madison Bumgarner. But how about that? Stuff it, Mad Bum.
And Joe Buck. Yeah.
Especially Joe Buck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares about Bumgarner? It's all about that dude.
I saw a headline on Deadspin this afternoon. Madison Bumgarner is in hell right now. He has started four games this season. He is 0-3, and his team has scored a total of five runs in his four starts, and two of those were on home runs hit by Madison Bumgarner.
That is pretty funny. Yeah, their lineup's a mess right now. Let me toss this at you. Do you think Joe Buck was even remotely aware that game happened last night? Do you think Joe Buck is aware that Madison Bumgarner played the Royals?
Well, what's Joe Buck doing with his time at the moment? I think so.
Calling baseball games?
Sure, probably. And it was fun. I was really excited that all that lined up. For my trip to the K for my birthday, because I was at Game One of the World Series in 2014, and I saw Madison Bumgarner shut down the Royals in a very heartbreaking 7-0 game that was just not competitive after the first three innings.
Well, so I was at Game 7, and I took zero personal satisfaction in regards to Joe Buck from last night's win. Maybe just a tiny bit for beating Madison Bumgarner.
He did get some boos a little bit when he was introduced, by the way. It wasn't like Robinson Cano, but...
Well, no, I'm asking about... That's the funny thing. I'm glad you were actually live on the scene to check this out for us, to scope it out. Because isn't that, he should be the guy that gets all the boos. I mean, it would probably be a lot different, I will say, had 2015 not happened. Had the Royals not won a World Series, maybe there's more vitriol, and I'm reading more into the Joe Buck angle of this. But let me phrase it this way. I don't know what the scenario would be that Joe Buck would actually be out on the field. But say... They were honoring, a bunch of broadcasters in Major League Baseball or something out at Kauffman Stadium. Are the boos louder for Joe Buck than they were last night for Madison Bumgarner?
I'm going to say no.
Oh, crazy.
I know you wanted me to say yes.
You know what? It's 4:20. You're high, man. You're high with that, because that is not correct.
Oh, boy. We're going to have to line it up.
Oh, come on.
Line it up. Find out.
Come on.
If you say so.
You know Royals fans have more vitriol for Joe Buck for whatever twisted, stupid reason.
Maybe I'm putting my own opinion into that too much, because I have backed off some from how I felt. I still think that he overdid it, but I don't think that I don't think that's the way that some other Royals fans do, that Joe Buck has this, you know, serious love affair with Madison Bumgarner and will do anything and go out of his way at every turn to say something nice about him. There are people that feel like that, but I have backed off from being one of those people.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say I think there are a couple angles to go with this. Like, if the Royals had somebody on their team who was a GOAT as opposed to Madison Bumgarner being the guy that goes out and beats you, he still is going to be a hated figure. You know what I mean? John Elway is a hated figure in Kansas City, I think, with Kansas City sports fans. And Bumgarner probably is the same spot there. But he's not a guy that you're facing year in, year out like John Elway, so that's a little bit different. And he's not, like, I think Lynn Elliott, you know, missed all the kicks against the Colts in the playoffs. Like, I think he is higher up on, like, a vitriol list just because he actually played for your team. He was one of your own. I think because of that, it makes Madison Bumgarner a little bit different. But I still have just never been able to figure out why there was more anger directed towards Joe Buck.
It was nice seeing the Royals. I mean, it's not like they hit him around or anything like that, but you know, when he got into jams, you could sense that the crowd really wanted to score more than they typically would because it was Bumgarner on the mound, and they were pretty happy that he took the loss last night.
Well, I get it, but it feels like your report on what happened there is about what I would expect, that there wasn't all that much. And that just still brings me back to the original point because, I mean, people have been...
Well, part of the reason that there wasn't much, you know, it is a weeknight game, and so you're only talking about a crowd of, you know, 22,000 people, and when the starters are introduced, that's still 20 minutes before the game anyway. So, I think out of the people that were there, probably half or a little bit less than half of them were booing Madison Bumgarner for about 10 seconds.
Can I just close with this on the Buck v. Bumgarner thing?
Sure, go for it.
Because you did drop in, I know you said you backed off at some, but you did drop in that you still think he overdid it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you seen a better pitching performance in the World Series in your lifetime?
Well, most of the time I'm not tuned into the TV for every World Series game because if it's Red Sox and, you know, Cardinals, I don't care.
It's a lot of politician deflection going on
for
a direct question.
Fair.
See, here's my
take. Wait, hang on. Sorry. I'm sorry, Brennan. Right. I want him to answer the question. I want to pin him down.
No,
I'm not going to allow Brennan to give you the pivot here.
I have not seen a better pitching performance in the playoffs in my lifetime.
See, that now we're even expanding from World Series to playoffs. So should Joe Buck not make that the central focus of what's going on in the broadcast of the World Series, which is not designed for Royals fans, by the way. It is designed for a national audience.
What bugged me was not how he handled it when Bumgarner was pitching. What bugged me is how much he talked about it during Game 6 when Bumgarner was not pitching and Yordano Ventura, rest in peace, was out there dominating and getting the series to a Game 7. That's what bugged me.
Okay, well, that is a more reasonable stance.
Thank you.
I would still say from a broadcaster's point of view, you got to be painting the broad strokes here of the series.
Right.
And it was looming in Game 7, the decision, you know, would he be able to pitch? As soon as the Royals jumped out in that game, it's like, okay, we're going to have a Game 7. Will he be able to pitch? He's already done this. So from that standpoint, I can see why it's still getting brought up in the broadcast. Everything we talk about during a K-State baseball broadcast is not always purely what's happening in that game. It's about the significance of the series, maybe what's going on in the conference. There are other ways that you branch out there.
So. It was the seventh inning, and Ventura was putting the finishing touches on a brilliant outing to get us to a Game 7, and they were showing Madison Bumgarner in the dugout basically between pitches, just talking about him. And I thought that was a little bit disrespectful to this really young, one of the hottest, you know, names coming up in baseball, Yordano Ventura, who is doing a great job.
Dude, we're already playing the game's greatest hits, man. We hit Scott Drew.
Yeah, we have
got Joe Buck.
Go right ahead.
No, that's
all right. There you go.
That's what I got there. You're getting the greatest hits album here today.
Yeah. Well, what I can't understand is, Tyler, how do you remember all these little details like that? Since, for whatever reason, I mean, probably 2015 has something to do with it. I managed to wipe a lot of memories from the 2014 World Series from my head. How do you still remember that in the seventh inning of Game 6, they're showing Madison Bumgarner every single pitch? How were you paying that much close attention looking for a reason to hate Joe Buck?
Yes. That's part of the reason.
Speaking from experience.
Exactly. A personal vendetta, essentially.
Yeah.
It's a personal vendetta.
Sitting in here with you. I remember at that time, man. You were fired up.
So I was.
I'm sure you were. I actually didn't. I went back last night during the game, just during a commercial break one time, because I think it was when they showed Salvi actually swinging very similarly against Bumgarner to the final out of the World Series. And I was like, you know, and they, oh, and they had mentioned the panic double play. And I was like, yeah, I remember that now, the double play that he started. That was crazy. I was like, I'm going to go watch the highlights. So I pulled up the MLB.com little 7-minute highlight package, like in-depth highlight package.
That doesn't twist the knife for you?
No, again, not really, because they won the 2015 World Series.
Right.
So it really didn't. It was actually kind of cool. I thought, you know, it was fun to go back and remember it, again, because I was there, and I remember all the ups and downs of everything there, and I remember the collective gasp when Madison Bumgarner ran into the game with a one-run lead late there. So that was really what last night was all about to me. I mean, it was cool to win the game, but it just brought me back to all the old feelings there. I was going back to watch the highlights. I was thinking about the Joe Buck v. Madison Bumgarner angle of this, that, which I love that because it makes it just so much more interesting than your average, like, game on April 19th that the Royals are playing.
That's why I was so excited to go to that game last night. I saw a great pitching matchup because Jason Vargas is suddenly the best pitcher in the major leagues.
He's Cy Young. Give him the Cy Young right now. Just mail it to him.
It was the weather was great. It was Bark at the Park night. I'm a huge dog person, so I had fun walking around, seeing all the dogs and everything. I mean, you know, it's a baseball game. Have a beer. It was a great time.
Well, I know I teased, like, hey, we told you there's no reason to panic. I guess I should pay that off. We got stuck more on the Bumgarner stuff than I thought we were going to. The Royals are 500. Four teams in the division right now are 500, and the division leaders are one game over 500. So, you know, after it looked very bleak early on, another good reminder that it's early. Baseball's a long season. Things seem all right now. There is a little Raul Mondesi problem. We'll talk about that at 525. But coming up next, I'm not sure. We'll see what Tyler says. I know I don't have the guts. I don't think either of us have the guts to do what we're about to talk about here on the game.
Get in the game.